The Democratic National Committee sent out a press release indicating that 15 cities, they were inviting 15 cities across the country to potentially bid on hosting the 2016 Democratic National Convention, which would be sometime in the summer of 2016. Would include the farewell visit by the President of the United States, Barack Obama, and First Lady Michelle Obama, and whoever the Democrats will nominate for president and vice president. And they were all the usual gang, you know, Las Vegas, all the Sun Belt cities, Columbus, Ohio, and Indianapolis, Indiana. And there's been some mixed reaction to that. The Indiana Visit Indy, which is the fancy new name of the Indiana Convention and Visitors Association, you know, they get excited anytime somebody wants to bring a big convention to town. But then the mayor's office said, "Oh, we're too busy. We got other things to do. I got to wash my clothes." Chris Gayle is vice president of communication and all kinds of fun stuff for Visit Indy, the Indiana Convention and Visitors Association. Chris, how you doing?
Good, Amos. Thanks for having me on the show.
Let me find it. There is confusion as to the timeline of this. When did the Democratic National Committee make any communication to Indianapolis saying, "Hey, are you? Might you guys be interested?"
Sure. This past February, so February 2014. The community, including Visit Indy and the Democratic National Party here locally, received a letter and it said, "Hey, we want to consider Indianapolis for a bid to host in 2016. Are you interested in receiving the request for proposal, the RFP, with all the bid specs?" And we talked to Indiana Democrats, and they said, "Yeah, let's go ahead, and we have enough interest to see what will the specs, what will be required." So on Tuesday this week, the DNC sent Indianapolis, as well as those before mentioned cities, the bid specs. And so for the last 48 hours, we've been reviewing what the requirements are financially, logistically, from a hotel and convention center perspective, what's required to even host this. And today at 3:30, we're sitting down with the Democratic Party here locally to review the bid, to do a page turn, and see where we stand. I would tell you our suspicion is, and as we've communicated to the mayor's office, and as we communicated the mayor's office a couple months ago when the RNC approached us, our concern from a tourism perspective is that we already have 18 different conventions on our books that fall in and around the time the DNC needs dates. And the bid says that you have to wipe those clean 8 weeks prior to the convention and 3 weeks after the convention dates. No other entity can be in the building because they're prepping it for security. Mm-hmm. And so our concern is we are pretty busy. It's a good thing. We have lots of conventions on the books. Are we willing as a community to wipe those away, tell them to get out of town and find another city so we can host the DNC, or is maybe 2016 not the best year?
When the indication came in February, Were anybody pulled together, individuals who were involved in the planning and the preparation of bidding on the Republican National Convention in 2000?
Sure, absolutely.
And were key Democrats and key Republicans in the corporate community polled or informally talked to and said, "Hey, what if? What if this happened, or we get the formal request for proposal? Should we or should we not do it?"
Absolutely. When the RNC expressed interest in Indianapolis, it was under the leadership of the Indiana Republican Party to look at the bid specs to see if there was feasibility, and moreover, could the community as a whole, both corporate and otherwise, raise anywhere from $45 to $50 million? Mm-hmm. In support to hand over to the RNC to host them. So both elected officials as well as community leaders and businesses, private and otherwise. The same thing is happening right now as we speak. Now that we know the nuts and bolts of the DNC, similar conversations with the Indiana Democratic Party are happening, both behind closed doors and more public facing. And so, Visit Indy as the, you know, we've been around since 1923, Amos. we are politically neutral in that on any given year, we respond to 800 to 1,000 different requests to bid to host conventions. Mm-hmm. And with each and every one of them, we sit down and we say, is this good for the city? Can we financially do it? Do we have the hotels and necessary wherewithal? We're treating this just as we did with the RNC, as we did with a Gen Con, as we did with the Black Alumni Association, et cetera. We're saying, can we fit them? Is this good for Indianapolis? And what would we need to do in time for a June 6th deadline to report back to them with a yes or no?
But in those other instances that you just gave did not have the mayor's office throwing cold water on the whole idea.
Well, I would tell you that I could tell you that actually the Republicans, including the mayor's office, for the Republican National Convention and the ability to maybe host it, quote, put some cold water because of the financial commitment to the tune of, you know, $45 to $50 million, you know, dump some cold water on that bid. The reason why the mayor's office is more intently with a political convention is because the bids say there needs to be universal support from the governor's office to the mayor's office, from facilities to tourism. You have to build the consensus, letters of support and universal consensus. So we didn't have it with the Republican National Convention, per the Republicans, and we would anticipate...
Wait. When you say we didn't have it for the Republican, were you talking about the Republican Convention in 2000 when the city bid on that?
No. We were asked, sorry to clarify, we were asked most recently to host for 2016. The RNC.
Okay, and so Democratic leaders were not thrilled with that and didn't sign on?
When the RNC reached out to ask Indianapolis if we were interested to bid to host the 2016 Republican National Convention, mm-hmm. We brought together the Indiana Republican Party as well as other private businesses, and it was deemed something not feasible.
And was that decision made public? And if not, why not?
As public as I guess would be with any, you know, again, if you operate under the pretense that 1,000 different conventions get bid on each year, things that groups that people out of Washington, D.C., and Chicago, et cetera, many of those aren't even public knowledge. We win some, we lose some.
And I want to go back to the reason that you weren't here in 1998 and 1999.
I actually was, but
But when when this city bid very heavily,
absolutely,
to get the Republican National Convention in 2000, we were one of the three finalists.
Absolutely,
and I will never forget the looks on people's faces, both Democrats and Republicans, Democratic governor, Republican mayor, split legislature, split United States senators, a business community, Democrats and Republicans that were prepared to do whatever it took. To bring a national political convention here. The city had committed to build two hotels that we didn't even know we were going to fill, hoping mm-hmm. to get that convention. And so you're telling me now, 10, almost 20 years later, we don't have in this city that same can-do spirit that we had in the late 1990s? To go to step up at bat and go to bid for one of the crown jewels of conventions, a national political convention, is that what I'm hearing?
Oh no, just the opposite. We absolutely have the wherewithal. We have the pizzazz. What I'm saying is, Amos, currently falling over the dates that the DNC needs us to hold to even be eligible to bid. We have 18 conventions already booked. And what I'm telling you is we have, and by the way, one of those is Indiana Black Expo.
And for the 2000 Republican National Convention, as a part of that process, the late, great Reverend Charles Williams was informed, hey, if we get this, you know you have to move. And Charles said, let me know when.
That's one. That would be, under the leadership of IBE, that would be one of 18. And some of these are bringing 25 to 30,000 people with them. So again, it's a good problem to have when you're in the convention business, if you've got a full convention center and you got a mega show wanting to. Now, why can't we turn the lens and say, well, if not in 16, why not in 20? If we have a full tourism landscape in 2016 and don't have the available dates, why don't we use that energy and that power to go universally towards 2020? And the other point, though, Amos, and I'd ask you this quite transparently, is do you think our community as a whole could raise $50 million with some fatigue already existing with Super Bowl commitments, Final Fours, and other related events and projects? There has to be, by June 6th, a very strong yes, universally, $50 million can be raised to put in a bid. We're asking, is that possible? Is that feasible?
If you don't ever ask. The other thing is, I guess I can't understand why, when you got the letter in February, why the task force wasn't pulled together then.
They were. Since February, we've been March, April, May, anxiously awaiting. On Tuesday at about 12:30 p.m., the email came along with a letter to all other cities who showed interest, and then we can comb through the specs. It's about 30 pages of items we need to hit. We need to have no other convention in the building for 8 weeks prior.
It's a Super Bowl.
We have to have $50 million, and we have to have 18,000 hotel rooms.
And that $50 million, is that divided over two or three groups? Because I'm looking at the report that your counterparts in Charlotte produced, their after-action report on the 2012 Democratic National Convention. Mm-hmm. They talk about a total amount of spending of $42 million, of which $5 million was the Democratic National Convention Committee. Mm-hmm. $21.5 million was Charlotte in 2012, the Convention Host Committee. And then $15.7 million was New American City, which sounds like that's the money all the lobbyists gave to. Mm-hmm. So is the bid specs talking about two or three different entities or one entity?
Well, it could be spread over. Our understanding of the bid is, and those are some of the questions we need to fine-tune, that it could be spread over many different entities, much like you go out for a Super Bowl and you get a handful of lead donors and then others follow suit. So, from our perspective, Amos, and I know you and I have gone back and forth, our research shows there are 74,000 people who depend on tourism for a paycheck in the MSA. Mm-hmm. When we have conventions on our books, and some of these book 5 to 7 years in advance, we work so hard to get them on the books, to wipe 18 of them away, to bid, to say maybe we're going to get the DNC, maybe we're not. To us, that just doesn't make sense. We have to wipe them all clean, tell them to go to another city, and we can't host you. Just for the possibility to host.
Are the bid specs confidential?
That's a great question. I don't know legally. I know that they were directly sent to tourism entities as well as mayoral heads for the cities that were asked to bid. I have them in front of me right here.
And the other thing is, on the dates, because there has been talk from both political parties that they want to do their conventions in early July, end of June, early July, as opposed to waiting till August, did they give any guidance in terms of that's the dates they're looking at, or do they want you to just block out the whole summer?
A couple different ways. They're leaning towards what we'd call a May time period, where they'd want kind of a mid-May. They're also interested in mid-June.
Now, that one they can forget.
Yeah.
Yeah,
so,
that one they can forget that one on a number of levels.
So we would have to look. One piece says they really want to look for July. Okay, so if it's held in July, that means we'd have to wipe things clean 8 weeks ahead of that.
Right.
And 3 weeks post that. So you're looking at a May 1st through July 31st. Mm-hmm. If we looked at August dates, we'd have to wipe everything off our books from June 23rd through September 21st. Mm-hmm. So it's really a huge time commitment and a lot of great conventions that are, again, some of the groups that are slated to be here. And even things locally like IUPUI commencement that's on our books and other local related groups that have the convention center and counting on it. So it's a delicate issue. It's one that I can tell you wholeheartedly, because we have 74,000 people depend on tourism for a paycheck, we take very seriously. We are politically neutral. We want what's best for Indianapolis.
The other thing is, two other things, and in 2000, when discussions have been on on Democratic National Conventions that have a larger number of delegates, there was a question whether Indianapolis could handle what looks like now, based on Charlotte, 34,000 delegates, media, and hangers-on that would be in a convention. Do we have the hotel capacity to handle 34,000?
Absolutely. The largest convention the city has hosted in its history was the General Council of the Assemblies of God in 2000. We had 75,000 people here. In 2004, the African Methodist Episcopal Church convened here. They had 40,000 people. We have the NRA, as you well know, in the building right now. They're slated to have 70,000 people. We have the physical infrastructure to host upwards of 70,000 people, not only in the MSA, but in this contiguous counties. We have the physical infrastructure. Is there consensus and financial commitments, and are we willing to wipe the books clean and take a chance at DNC? That's what we're discussing, and just like we did with the RNC and their request for 2016, we're doing that with the Democratic leadership as urgently as 3:30 today here at Visit Indy.
The other thing that concerns my community is the, as opposed to the Republican convention, the Democratic convention has extraordinarily strong goals and commitment to utilize minority and women-owned businesses. Does Visit Indy understand that in my community, yeah, we're aware of all the logistical hassles, but we see this as a potential, positive outcome that could be tangible for the community to see, maybe more tangible than a Super Bowl?
Absolutely. We absolutely understand that. In fact, we know that there are other groups, even specific to the African-American community, that help bring attention and services and needs and draw the spotlight on the good work that's happening here. So we absolutely. In fact, there are three individuals within the Visit Indy sales force that do nothing but call on and attract minority and faith-based groups to come to Indianapolis and meet. And as you know, as you broadcasted from inside this great facility many a times, we work hard and score a lot of big groups that happen to be African-American, happen to be faith-based, happen to be minority. The Hispanic engineers were in the building, the Kappas, et cetera. So diversity, you know, if 30 to 36%, you know more than anyone, of people in Indianapolis happen to be African-American, to market Indianapolis is to market it as a diverse place. And we've recently gone through a minority audit, looking at our marketing materials, looking at the way we're positioning the city. Are we being inclusive? And we're working really hard to make sure of that. So with people like Greg Wilson, the mayor's office and IB director on our board, he's helping guide us, as well as a lot of other leaders, to make sure that we are inclusive, we are diverse.
So one final thing. So regardless of this email that I got from the mayor's office, the planning for no decision has been made that we are not going to bid. This is still under advisement.
Still under advisement. I would tell you, we've not said no formally. Not the mayor's office, not Visit Indy. We have communicated to Democratic leadership here locally that it's highly unlikely, based on the 18 groups that currently have the building over the dates that the DNC would need. Unless we can find a solution to that, I would tell you in the coming weeks it's going to have to be, unfortunately, no. But the way we will communicate that to the DNC is, although we can't host you now, can we start talking and we continue this process for 2020 and beyond? Because to be even selected as a handful of these cities means Indianapolis has come a long way.
Yeah, I agree with that. Maybe somebody needs to tell the PR people in the mayor's office you don't lock the door until everybody has been consulted. Then you lock the door. Chris Gayle with Visit Indy, Senior Vice President of Communication and all kinds of fun stuff with Visit Indy, the nice new name of the Indianapolis Convention and the Visitor Association. Always good to talk to you. Thanks very much for being with us. When we come back.
Thank you, Amos.
Thank
Bye-bye.
You.